Thank you, Ruth. For the benefit of visitors here today, this year in St Andrews we've given over to the writings of John. And so earlier we looked at his letters, leading up to Easter time we looked at the Gospel of John, and way back in the autumn we were reading the Revelation of John, that most mysterious and yet amazingly powerful book right at the end of the Bible. Well, we set it aside back then after doing the first three chapters, and we return to Revelation now, and that's where we're going to be through now till the end of the session. So today we come to chapter 4. I want to remind you of the background, the context against which this is written, against which therefore we have to understand it. We need to remember that at the time of writing, Christians were being persecuted on account of their faith. They were facing up to much trouble and suffering. They were very much downtrodden because of their belief in Jesus. They were, of course, there under the authority of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire would tolerate no rivals to the throne of Caesar. And so to be a Christian in these days was a tough call. It's against that background that we need to understand Revelation. The vision is to encourage and to bring new strength to Christians who, understandably, might well have been thinking about giving up. Isn't it usually easier to give up when the going gets tough? And maybe there were those in the church who thought to themselves, there must be an easier way. And into their situation comes this message, this vision, this revelation. And it's a message of encouragement. It's a vision that says that God is almighty and in command. Not Caesar. No other earthly power. The vision declares God to be sovereign. What John is doing through the vision is encouraging those early Christians to look beyond the here and now, to look beyond their immediate circumstances, to open their eyes, if you like. There's a song we sometimes sing off the wall, and it has the chorus line, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." I mean, we can all see with those eyes, but can we see further? Can we see beyond what is here and now? John is inviting those early Christians to open their eyes to see something more than what is immediately before them. There is always more to see than what immediately presents itself. Here's a picture. What do you see? Do you see the man's face? Or do you see the woman walking behind the tree and the set of buildings in the background? There's always more to see than what you first see. Or the picture that Rico Tice shared with us yesterday, which is a cracker. Can we see the second picture? What do you see? I mean, I have to say, when I saw this to begin with, what I saw was a young maiden, a servant girl, and she is looking away into the far distance. But the more I looked, I began to see the old woman. Hands up if you can see the young woman and the old woman. Some are quicker at this than others. The young woman's face is the old woman's nose, and the young woman's ear is the old woman's eye, and on you go. There is always more to see than what we immediately see. And in the same way, God wants us to see truths that lie beyond the first glance, beyond the surface. And he wants us to be encouraged and reassured accordingly. What those early Christians saw was the persecution that was upon them. What they saw with their eyes was the suffering that they were going through. And by the vision of John, they are invited to see that there is something more. That there is something lasting and eternal. I want you to note something else before we go any further. These other truths, these eternal truths, always are God's to reveal to us, not ours to discover. If we see anything of God, if we know anything about who God is, it's because he chooses to show us. It's because he chooses to let us know what he is like. In other words, it's not that particularly smart people can work it out. If anything, the opposite. God chooses to reveal his truths to us. Will your eyes be open to see them, is the question. And daily, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit in us doing that job of eye-opening, that we would be able to see more than there is to see. And in this vision, as I said, God reveals that he is in charge, that he holds all things in his hands, that our destinies are wrapped up in his. Just as it was difficult for those early Christians to see beyond their immediate circumstances, so it can be very easy for us to lose sight of the eternal. And to allow our present circumstances to cloud our vision of what is ultimately true. You see, there are those among us at the moment who are battling with very serious illness. Others of us are facing different kinds of problems, but they are crowding in around us, making every day difficult, making us wonder at all if really we want to face the next day. Some of us are hurting emotionally because we have been cheated upon, we have been abused perhaps, we have been neglected, we have had love thrown back in our faces by the very people we reached out to in love. Some of us are going through life with a distinct lack of purpose. If we were pressed to answer the question, why are you here? What's the point of your life? We would struggle to answer. Because of where we're at right now. And sometimes when life is like that, when we're hurting or in pain, or when suffering is heaped upon us, it is so difficult to see any further. So difficult to see beyond the immediate of our situation. Or, if not personally, maybe you're looking out in the world and you're seeing that evil seems to abound here and there. And that there are wars raging on most continents that are leaving countless innocent victims. Families, communities, whole nations torn apart. And you look elsewhere in the world, and there are folks who have nothing to eat. Folks who are dying for want of clean water to drink, or simple medicines to give them life. And we look at the mess of the world, and we're caused to wonder, can there really be anything more than this? We consider our own situations and wonder, can there really be anything more than where I am at right now? And the vision of John, as Revelation says, look beyond. Open your eyes. Come up and see. See with the eyes of faith that there is more. I want to make a reminder that this vision that Ruth read for us from John, and all biblical visions, need to be handled with some care. First of all, we need to say that they are metaphorical and yet not literal, therefore. Metaphorical and not literal. But be careful, because sometimes when we say that they're metaphorical, people think, oh, they're not true. Wrong. They come to us in picture form, but they hold ultimate truth. The second thing is this. The vision is to be taken as a whole. We're not supposed to dissect it and try to decode every single part of the vision. In other words, you're not supposed to ask when it says that his face gleamed, this being on the throne, his face gleamed with precious stones like jasper and carnelian. You're not supposed to say, I wonder what the jasper stands for. I wonder what carnelian means. And you're not supposed to go through and think, well, what does the face that seemed like a bull stand for? And so on and so on. And yet some people revel in that kind of biblical interpretation. My message to them is, go and do something more worthwhile with your lives. Feed the hungry. Help those in need. If these particulars of the vision ever meant anything, then they're lost to us in the mist of time. Rather than trying to get meaning out of every single aspect of what is given here as a vision, we take it as a whole. And we ask ourselves, what is the main point? What, above all, is the message of this vision? And the answer is, almost as I started by saying, that God is supreme. That God is sovereign. That God is almighty. That God is in charge. You understand the importance of the message when you remember that those first hearers, those first Christians, saw when they looked around that Caesar was in charge. That he was ruling their lives. And the message comes and says, look higher. Look beyond and see that God Almighty is in charge. The word throne is used 47 times in the book of Revelation, and always it's a symbol of authority. That God is in control and that he is majesty. And around the throne, around this throne upon which God himself sits, there are gathered, we are told, countless worshippers. The church, if you will, in all its fullness. And before God, there is no other response than to fall to our knees in worship. Do you know it's possible to become over-familiar? I guess when I'm down at Buckingham Palace next year for my knighthood. And if when the Queen approaches, I stretch out a hand and say, how's it going? What have you been up to these last few days? That would be considered over-familiar. When we come before an almighty God, there is no other response than that we fall to our knees in worship. Through Christ, there is friendship. But that's not the same thing as being pals. God is almighty, awesome. And this vision of heaven given us in Revelation reminds us that he is supreme being. Reminds us also of our own unworthiness. That we have no right even to be in the same place as an almighty God. And so what else can we do but what those worshippers did, as described in the vision, but to fall to our knees and acknowledge him. To acknowledge him for who he is, and to thank him for what he has done. For this almighty God is the one who sends Jesus to us, through whom it is possible for us to be lifted up from where rightfully we are into that place of life. And this is the most amazing bit I want to finish with. Because this can be hard to see. Just as in our lives it can be difficult to look beyond the immediate, so it is that when Christian people gather in worship, it can be hard to understand that we are being joined with that worship in heaven. It can be hard when the person next to you hits another bum note, or when you don't know the tune, or when it's overly dreary, or when the preacher's going on and on, or when you dropped off for a moment in the midst of the prayer. It can be difficult to remember that when Christian people truly worship, that we are being joined to that heavenly worship, that we're taking our place alongside those saints, those angels who are forever before God in endless worship. And yet I want to tell you that's true, because it must make a difference to what happens when we show up here on a Sunday morning. I know sometimes that there are details to be seen to and arrangements to be made. And maybe before service or afterwards, you've got to catch hold of the guild president or someone else you need to buy a ticket for this, that or the next thing. I know it can be difficult not to have your eye and your attention drawn by the bright purple dress that somebody's wearing in front of you, or the weird hairstyle of that such and such a person. The earthly is all around us. The earthly and the immediate is in our faces all the time. No offence to purple wearers, please. I just noticed too. Sheila and Helen, nothing personal, honestly. What I'm saying is, in many ways, when we worship, it is very, very earthly. And yet, something happens that catches what we do with all its faults and failings, catches what we do and what we offer, and merges it in with the heavenly worship. And suddenly, those of us here in our broth are caught up with cherubim and seraphim. And right here becomes a part of heaven. And right here becomes the place where God himself is. So don't you dare come to church on a Sunday and just think it's, I don't know, some other weekend that's neither here nor there. Don't you dare. It is the most almighty privilege to come into his presence and to join with those who are forever on their knees before this supreme and sovereign God. Got troubles in your life at the moment? Got problems that are besetting you? Got worries? Look beyond. God is in charge. Nothing that's going on in your life threatens that truth. He is supreme. Always has been, is now, and always will be. Now there is truth. And that gets my vote. Regardless of where you put your cross on Thursday, give everything else to this Almighty God. Let's pray.